You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm also a keynote speaker, trainer and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. And Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to the show just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, today I'm talking with Leila Flatty, who is the CEO and founder of Urban Paws UK, which is a pet modelling and influence agency. And we're talking all about the wonderful world of pet influencers. So I started by asking her about how she got started into the business. And here's what she had to say.
I started the company back in 2015. I had come from the modelling industry. I had done a small bit of modelling myself. I had done a small bit of TV. So I kind of had a fair idea as to how the industry worked for humans. And I was at a point where I just really wanted a career change. I had always wanted to work with animals. So it was a case of what I knew and my passion, my love. So I put the two together and came up with Urban Paws UK. With me being based up north, there was no real other competitors because everything really was predominantly London-based. So it kind of made sense that there was a gap in the market for another agency, but outside of London, really. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened in a nutshell.
Wow. Wow. How big is the business now?
So we are 7 years in. We have a full team. I started with Urban Paws UK. Then we expanded to Urban Paws Influencers. We're now moving into Urban Paws Ireland and products as well. So it's growing rapidly. So yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
I'm obviously specifically interested in these influencers particularly. And it's largely, is it dogs and cats or is it more than that?
All animals. So we have hedgehogs, we have birds, we have bees, there's everything.
Oh, wow. You mentioned hedgehogs. So we've got a hedgehog influencer, have we?
We have a few, actually, yeah. And there's everything, every type of animal now. You know, there, it isn't just limited to cats and dogs. Any animal can be an influencer.
So why have they been so successful? And I'm guessing a lot of this is video driven as well. But why have they been so successful in your eyes?
I think with animals, we're not as judgmental as we are with humans, first of all. A lot of these influencers, whether they be travel bloggers or food critics or fashion bloggers, whatever type of influencer that they are, we tend, as humans, we tend to kind of live through the eyes of the influencer. You know, they create this kind of whole new world for us where we're nearly envious of them. You know, I've got some influencers and they probably have traveled to more countries than I have. You know, they're living this life that we could only dream about, whether it be walking down red carpets or jetting off first class to Paris or rocking up at some Michelin star, five-star restaurant. They're living the dream that we could only imagine.
Yeah, whereas pets aren't always. There's an emotional experience, isn't there? Attachment, which I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell me about the process then. Tell me how a brand might want to involve and engage a dog influencer.
We get a lot of brands. They will contact us, the agency, wanting to work with specific influencers. Now, 9 times out of 10, that company is non-pet related. So it's a human product or it's a human service nothing to do with animals at all. But because some of these animals, their followers are so engaged, you know, their reach is astronomical. They have a huge engagement. They might have a worldwide reach. So it makes sense for these companies to want to work with these influencers, these pet influencers. It kind of, in a way, works out more influential than using human influencers, essentially.
Well, I agree. And it's something I talk about quite a lot in my influencer workshops as well. In fact, I think they're one of the highest paid, actually, proportionately, aren't they? Because of the reach and engagement they get for the brand, you know, which I think is important. So give me some examples of some campaigns that you've got involved with.
Oh, God, where to begin? So we get a lot of meet and greets, for one. So we've had pets that have been invited to Google's main office. We have had pets that would walk the red carpet, say, for example, like at the launch of a new film, like 101 Dalmatians. Say, for example, Sainsbury's is launching a new doggy cake. So they will have influencers shouting all about this cake. We've had HarperCollins, for example, sending out books to certain pets. And again, just sharing this with their followers. We've had, of course, all the usual, the cat brands and the pet food companies. They will send out food products and treats, etc., to pets. We've had Amazon, for example. They will send out products to our pet reviewers. So they will review the toys or the interactive toys, etc., and then obviously give a review about the product. We have like pet friendly stays, like cottages or hotels, and they will invite a pet reviewer or a travel blogger along to try out this beautiful 5-star cottage for a weekend and then to obviously blog about it. So it really, really, it can be anything. It can be right across the board. Then, of course, you have also your, like it could be a watch from a particular watch company. You know, again, nothing to do with pets, but the companies want to be associated with these pets. Never any bad press or any negativity associated with pets. It's very much that emotional engagement. It's very rare that you meet people that don't like pets. So it's positive advertising, really. And people always remember the adverts with animals in. You go back years ago, do you remember the Kit Kat adverts? There was the guy on the rollerblades, and I'm sure it was a panda or something that was, you know, they're always the iconic adverts where what animals are featured.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we talked about engagement. What type of engagement do they get on Instagram? I mean, we know the average engagement for a post is 1.7%. What might a brand get by using a pet influencer?
With pets, they tend to have double the engagement. I've even seen it where there's treble. So the engagement is always a lot higher for pets than it is for humans.
And most of the content that you're seeing, is it video? I'm assuming it is.
Not always. I mean, I would say probably 70-80% of the content is reels, because reels, it performs the best, especially on Instagram and TikTok, it's video. We do have some influencers that are just purely photographic, and that works for them. You know, but they're very creative with their photography. You know, the animal might be wearing sunglasses, then the next day it's rollerblading or on a skateboard. They're always painting and creating this picture for you. So that works for them.
And what trends are you seeing? What type of content? Is it shorter form content? Are you seeing episodal content? Are you seeing just amazing, stunning photography? What are you picking up?
It really varies. A lot of influencers now tend to keep a certain color theme running for a week or two, you know, depending as well, like around Christmas, it's red, Valentine's, it's pink, Easter, it's yellow. So they're really kept to kind of staying in line with what's going on with the seasons. Then you have other influencers who kind of, they jump on the viral trends. Then we have others that are very simplistic, you know, everything's very neutral. So it really depends on the influencer, but they do tend to follow what's happening on social media and in the world around us. You know, that's why they are influencers. They follow trends, viral trends.
Yeah. So give me an example of some of the size of some of these pets in terms of their following on Instagram or YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, some of our pets have, you know, over a million followers. So we represent everything from 10,000 plus. But some have over a million followers. I mean, obviously, the American influencers are still miles ahead of the UK influencers, because they always will be, you know, they set the trends. But we have quite a large amount of influencers with huge mega followings.
And of your total mix, it's cats and dogs the biggest, I guess?
I would say cats, dogs and horses. Ferrets, birds as well.
Give me an example of a big bird influencer then.
We have Mikey and Mia. They're macaws. They're quite big.
Really? Mm. Oh, because I guess, can they talk back? And because they can.
No, all... I think just people love to see the free flight. You know, even though they're not living in the wild, but the owners, the handlers still like to kind of create this very natural habitat for them. And people just, they're so beautiful. People just love to see them in free flight and they're just stunning animals.
Yeah, of course. No, it's really amazing, isn't it? So what's the future look like for you? What's your plans? I mean, are you going to go more global than you already are?
Or? I need about 10 of me, Gordon, if I have to go global. But the plan is to branch into Ireland. So we're currently in the process of Urban Paws Ireland. I could imagine it'll be slightly different. It'll be more your farm animals, you know, in Ireland. They still probably don't capture animals in advertising like we do here in the UK. I think the UK is miles ahead in terms of being a nation of animal lovers, but the shift is slowly changing. So I think, you know, we need to get in there before that shift actually does turn. So yeah, that's the plan. So Urban Paws Ireland. So watch this space on that one.
Have you actually appeared in any sort of ads or?
Not ads,
no.
Not
appear. No, because I wondered if you get models, fashion models with pets. I could see that being quite an interesting combination.
All the time, but they would be hired from like actual model agencies as opposed to coming via us or anything. We do get some clients that will ask, you know, if we have any pet owners that are happy to be photographed or filmed with their pet. We do get that quite a lot as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Well, the only reason I mention that is presenters will often say the things that I won't work with, and that's children and pets. Have there been, like, for example, pets that have not performed on shoots or just had a bad hair day?
touch wood. It's very rare that that happens. I could probably count on one hand where the animal wasn't playing balls, so to speak. However, we kind of worked around it because they are animals at the end of the day. They're, you know, they are like children. They can be unpredictable regardless of how well trained they are. They're still pets. If they're having an off day and they decide they don't want to do anything, you can't force them.
Yeah. Well, look, it's lovely to talk to you. And thanks for sort of sharing your wisdom about what you're doing. I wish you all the best for the brand. And how can people find out about you? Just tell us what your website or social media handles are.
So it's www.urbanpawsuk.com. And we're Urban Paws UK right across on social media, all social media.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're also able to give us a 5-star review, we really do appreciate it. And also, if you want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or you want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, then head over to gordonglenister.com where you can find out all of the details. And if you want to find out about more of our shows and others, go over to MPM, the Marketing Podcast Network. You'll find everything that you need to know there. Thanks as always to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.